The following show is for entertainment purposes only. It is not medical, psychological, or psychiatric advice of any kind. For any of that, please contact your doctor. On today's episode of Dream Meanings, how could a peaceful visit to an old farmhouse turn into a journey on top of rotting flesh and bones? How does the dreaming mind work at coping with the sudden tragic death of loved ones? Could identity issues be to blame for dreams about being chased through a parking lot? And I believe I can fly, at least in dreams. What does that all mean? Those dreams and more on today's episode of Dream Meanings. The phone number is 1-800-606-7193 to call in to our program here at Dream Meanings and share your dream with us. We may use it on a future episode of the show. Or you can also, of course, write in on our website at dreamingradio.com. That's dreamingradio.com. So several ways to get your dream over to us. We can discuss, listen, share, and do all that. And of course, I have to ask, since we're a new show, subscribers are very important at the beginning to allow us to grow. So please do press subscribe on the page of Dream Meanings on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever it may be. Pressing subscribe helps us grow this thing, helps us grow in the rankings, lets other people find us, and in turn creates a better show for you at the end of the day. So please do press subscribe. We do greatly appreciate that support. Let's go over to our first caller of the day and hear a dream. Hi, you're on Dream Meanings.
Hi there. This is Oliver Chapman. I'm calling from British Columbia here. I had a really weird dream, and I don't quite understand or I don't follow the meaning behind it. It happened about a couple months ago. And for a bit of background, what happened is my dad and brother were killed in a plane crash a year and a half ago. And then I had this dream that my father was in fact okay, but he said that our brother passed away, but he had spent 4 months, because he was in a plane crash, he spent 4 months just away, but didn't bother to tell anybody that he was still alive after, even, of course, when physically it's not possible. So this happened, and as he came through, the door, it was like, where have you been? I mean, he was almost, we almost seemed upset that he had left for so long or had that accident, right? And how come they said two people died when there was only one? And, that he said, oh, they presumed I was dead. And I said, and so it didn't make sense. And then that kind of made a weird impact. Like, I'm not sure what the dream would interpret in my own dream, but he just didn't, it's almost like we didn't suddenly matter for some reason because now he's here, but it's still about my brother. But there's a lot of stress at that time for our family and all that, so I'm just curious in how to interpret what that meant, that how the accident did occur in my brain. However, my father said that he was fine in the end, and he was just away in the woods from the plane, living in the land, but never bothered to be found, is the way how I interpret the dream when I was sleeping, when I woke up. And it was just awful. But anyway, so I was going to school at the time. I finished my degree in school. I was in my last semester. So I was stressed with that. But other than that, we just a normal day, a normal year until that happened a year and a half ago when they passed in October. So this dream just happened recently. That's why I thought I'd share it with you. And it was kind of bizarre because at the same time, how he was living, even though he wasn't, and how he stated that he wasn't around and didn't, to let us know that he wasn't deceased or anything. He didn't bother. Like, I don't understand. I don't follow it. So I don't know. Maybe you have some interpretations as to why this dream would have occurred, that he would be okay and didn't want to share, but that he was alive versus my brother that passed away, and but he was still passed away from the accident. Anyways, thanks again. Thank you. Bye.
First of all, thank you for sharing your story, and I'm sorry to hear about that horrible tragedy that occurred within your family and the emotional toll that it is taking on you. I'm sure that is absolutely nothing that is easy to deal with. And saying that's going to obviously cause a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, a lot of odd emotions to be flowing through your subconscious. Without a doubt, it's going to lead to weird dreams that do not necessarily make sense as your mind tries to make sense of such a tragedy, especially things like this that just come out of nowhere. It's not like there was a impending disease that people knew about and the time was coming, and there's a little bit of mental preparation and coming to grips that can be done in those situations. Just sudden out of the blue tragedies like this can very much throw our minds for a loop. And I think that is really what is going on here in this dream. My guess, my opinion on it is your mind trying to cope with what happened. I think any of us who would have gone through something like that would, in the back of our mind, have some sort of thought of, well, what if it didn't happen? What if there's something I'm missing here? You know, what if I just get that call and suddenly he's alive? Even though you know full well that that's not going to happen, that that's an impossibility, our mind is going to play through these things. You know, it's the whole fantasy type complex thing that's going to be running through of changing history, of changing what actually happened, of changing the future. We do that with things beyond tragedy as well in our minds. You play out different scenarios, and I think that might have just been all that was. I don't think there really was a lot of significance, quite honestly, to the your brother passed and I'm alive, but I didn't want to tell anybody. I think it's just your mind literally spidering out, if you will, all of the weird, you know, what if tendencies or possibilities. I don't say tendencies because it's not a tendency. Possibilities that maybe we've heard of in the news and entertainment of somebody thought they were dead and gone, but then they showed up X amount of years later. They were just out in the woods. You know, I think your mind just runs through all these things, although be it impossible, and is just trying to cope with it. I think that's really all it is. I wouldn't really take it as anything paranormal. I wouldn't take it as anything nefarious of your father, you know, having any sort of ill will. It's really, I think, just our mind's natural way of coming to grips and trying to cope with the sad reality and tragic reality of what had occurred in your life. I'm sorry that you had to endure that. I'm so sorry that your mind is going to continue to probably mess with that for a while as it rummages over this information and tries to come to grips with it. But I really think that is all that this is. It's just... It's the subconscious trying to come to grips with what happened. Thank you for calling in and sharing that experience with us here on Dream Meanings. 1-800-606-7193 is our phone number. 1-800-606-7193 to share your dream with us. Let's go over to a letter. James writes in. Hi, Tony. Quick reminder. I'm James from Loughton, England. I had a ghost encounter with a mist woman, and you aired it on EPP episode 133 of Real Ghost Stories Online. Honored and thankful for that. And if you remember, I said something about a reoccurring nightmare about Smurfs kidnapping me. Well, I may go in depth about that some other time, but this instance I'd like to share too. Ah, darn. One of the dreams I had. The first, I was a young teen, maybe 13 or 15, somewhere around there. I became aware of the fact that I was dreaming, I think not too long into it. But even though I was aware I was dreaming, I had no control over it. I was in a multi-story car park. The signs about the place were third floor. It had been raining, and somehow the water had gotten into the whole floor, not just the edges. You'd expect it to be all over. It was all muddy water. The puddles around the place were light color in brown. I was walking through the car park, though not as a car, as I can recall, just walking through the place. I was wearing a white tracksuit from head to toe, white trainers, sneakers, jogging bottoms, a hoodie and hat. Now, bear in mind, since the age of around 10, I have been more inclined to darker clothes, leading to my current life choice of being a goth, so I own almost no white clothes at all, and for certain, not training clothes. But here I was, head to toe, in this stuff, and I'm walking through a car park. The sound of a large high-performance engine and exhaust fill the air in front of me, and a white Porsche Boxster flicks its headlights on, revs the engine in a couple of times, then peels rubber at me. I manage to dodge it, but it splashes through a puddle and covers me totally in muddy water, which dries off almost instantly and leaves the clothes I'm wearing a light brown color. The Porsche reaches the opposite side of the car park, and handbrake turns 180 back towards me. It revs again and begins to burn out the tires. At that point, a big jet black TVR with a guttural growling exhaust note speeds past me and skid stops just in front of me with the passenger side, left side in the UK to me. The door opens. I can't see anything inside the car, nothing at all, but the Porsche is starting to move. And I get this feeling that it will not stop even if it hits the TVR. It'll just push it and try to kill me using the TVR as a battering ram. So I get in the TVR, and the door closes. I'm in total absolute darkness, but I feel safe. I can hear the engine and exhaust, and then can feel myself being pushed back into the seat as the car accelerates hard and fast. At that point, I wake up. Okay, let's stop there for a moment. You said you have two dreams. We'll get to dream number two in a moment. I'd rather take them one at a time than try and recall the details of both after going through both. So let's talk about what's going on here in the dream. You got the white suit on, essentially. You are covered in a solid white color, typically a color that's recognized as, you know, pure, clean color. You're surrounded by dirt and debris and rain and aggressive cars in this parking lot. What does it all mean? Let's jump to the part in the dream of being chased, okay? Because that I think is going to be the catalyst for explaining everything else that I think is going on here in this dream. When you're being chased in a dream, a lot of times it means that there's a situation going on that you don't think is something you can take on. It's basically some sort of insecurity, a situation. It's something that you feel you are not going to be able to conquer. Or get through. So that's what being chased tends to lend itself to. Getting dirty when the car is chasing you and splashing you. That has a lot to do with anxiety and feelings of low self-esteem, of being unworthy, if you will. Feelings that pertain to that area of life. It can also mean anxiety towards sexual things as well. So I don't know what's going on in your life, but that may be part of the anxiety here. I don't know, but sometimes that does play together. And the puddles that they're going through, oftentimes that means things that are being downplayed or overlooked in your life. So connect those dots, being chased, feelings there of not being worthy, feelings of inadequacy, all the way back then over to getting dirty with the puddle, the low self-esteem, and then the puddle, things being overlooked and downplayed and maybe not recognized and dealt with properly. I think the white that you were wearing represents kind of your view of yourself. Of maybe you kind of do feel in a way, in a surface way, that you have things together and you're okay. You're on a track that you're good with, but it's far too easy then to mess that up, to take you off that track. And that's what's happening in this dream with suddenly get dirty. Anytime you wear white, that's why I don't wear white, is I know I'm gonna get dirty. I know there's no way that I'm going to survive this day without getting home going, well, this clothing is ruined. And maybe there's a sense of overinflated confidence going on with yourself right now. But deep down, you know that there's some feelings, some issues, some emotions that really do need to be dealt with. And it's far too easy for you to be affected by those things right now, by being basically wearing all white, where it's very easy for something around you to penetrate that and get into those emotions and get into those feelings. And that's, I think, where it points back to getting to the root of a lot of these things and not downplaying them and not overlooking them, but truly dealing with them. So you're not feeling so vulnerable to the world and the elements that are in it. That would be my interpretation of that dream. Number two dream says, when I was in my 20s, maybe around 20 or 24, again, I became aware sometime into the dream, but not aware I was dreaming, just of what was happening around me and that something wasn't right. I stood at a road crossing in a city I didn't recognize, but knew it well. I took in the buildings, the squat ones all around me, took in the people too, but paid about as much mind to them as you do in real life. So I could only describe them as men and women getting on with daily life. It was a beautiful, hot, sunny day, and I could feel the warmth of the sun on my exposed skin, but I still had this nagging voice in the back of my head that kept saying, something's not right. This is wrong. You need to find out what's wrong. The pedestrian light changes to walk, and the bleeping starts. The crowd flows around me, and I start to move. My legs feeling suddenly cooler and more exposed than the rest of me, and an odd clicking noise accompanies every step I take. I get across the road and still this voice saying something's not right and I need to find out what it is. I look down at myself, my long auburn hair falling down around my head, and I just push it off the way. I look and I see my green tank top. I see that I see the tops of my breasts, my cleavage, the top part of my pinky white bra. Still, the voice is saying something is not right here. So I look past my breast and down to my black petaled skirt and then onto my bare exposed legs and finally my high-heeled sandal-type shoes and red-painted toenails. The voice is still there. This isn't right, but I can't, for the life of me, figure out what's going wrong. So I pull the strap of my handbag back up my shoulder and continue walking down the road some until I reach a building with mirrored glass walls and I stop and look at myself. I'm a tall, very good-looking woman with long auburn hair just down past my shoulders that curls just a little. Thin, but not too much so, with a large bust, wide hips, and long legs. My makeup is perfect, and I simply cannot see what on earth is wrong. So I just adjust myself, my bra, and continue walking. Then I wake up, and it still takes a second or two to figure out what's wrong. And then obviously I'm a man, and I'm not a woman. Thanks, guys, for your work, and I have to submit more to you, Real Ghost Stories Online podcast. So what was going on at the time in the life, time in your life of having these dreams? It says, nothing I can remember of any great importance. In the first dream, I was already well on my way to being a goth, and there was no pushing or pulling from my family, and nothing a school worthy of thought, really. Much the same in the second, and honestly, cannot think of anything of any true importance in my life at the time that would trigger either of these dreams. In the second dream, I have absolutely no idea where to start with that. Anything you could come up with would be appreciated. I think this has a lot to do with identity, in my opinion. I think, just as you said, you have had some feelings of wanting to fully go into being a goth. Maybe not have done that yet, but struggling with who you are and who you want to be and how you want to project yourself. When you have dreams of being the opposite sex, oftentimes, what that is suggesting is that there may be some elements of the opposite sex that you want to incorporate into your life, some qualities of the opposite sex that you may want to incorporate into your life. So you need to kind of ask yourself, in what ways should I be incorporating some things that you may atypically see of the opposite sex in your life? You know, take a look at the females in your life. What sort of qualities, you know, emotionally, do you see being exhibited by them that you wish you had more of? That could be what that means. But I also think the whole thing, seeing yourself as this other person, I think it's your mind kind of wrestling with who are you truly on the inside and who are you on the outside, and how do you find the happy, cohesive version of that? Where it's not just one thing being portrayed on the outside and another being felt on the inside. I think there might be some confusion there. And I'm not saying anything sexual about that. I'm just saying we all at times in our life, I think, struggle with who we are on the inside mentally, and who we tell ourselves that we are and believe that we are or want to believe that we are. And it doesn't always come out on the outside. So I think there just may be some identity issues going on personality wise. Again, not necessarily sexual, more so just who you want to be and how you want to be portrayed and how you want to be seen. I think that's where that's coming from. Thank you for sharing your dreams with us. I do appreciate that. 1-800-606-7193, the phone number at Dream Meanings to share your dreams with us. Let's go to another letter and dive right into another one. Hi, I'd like to share a reoccurring dream I've had over the course of about 13 years, from 2002 to 2015. I've had the dream 6 to 8 times, and though the situation changes, the core of the dream is always the same. It's a flying dream. Of all the times I've had the dream, it's on its variations, I can only clearly recall 3. The first was about 2002. I was 22 or 23 years old and working for Playhouse Square, the theater district of Cleveland, Ohio, in the telemarketing department, trying to get people to renew their subscriptions. In the dream, I was at work, although the workroom was a bit different than in reality. All my workmates were there, and we were laughing and talking, not working at all. Then, a remembrance, hit me like a stroke of genius. I remembered that I didn't have to stay on the ground. I could fly. Not only that, but I remembered how simple it was to do. I had to put my mind in the right place, think the right thoughts, and step off the ground. So I did and began to float and fly around the room while my workmates carried on below me. I don't think any of them so much as noticed. Next time I had the dream, I can recall I was on a farm of some sort. I was outside the tall grass under what must have been a full moon as everything was bathed in silvery light. The 3-story farmhouse that I assume was my home was about 100 yards away, and it was time for me to head inside. Then I had another stroke of memory, a genius, and I remembered that I could float there. So I got my mind and thoughts in the right place and stepped off the ground as though I was taking the first step up an invisible staircase. Then I floated towards the house as if I were on a moving sidewalk. Last time I had the dream was in 2015. I was in India on a spiritual journey pilgrimage holiday. This time I had the dream. I was in a big old house with 2 older guys that I did not know. The house seemed to be a Tudor of some sort with its heavy, dark wood paneling, crisp white plaster walls, and formidable wooden beams in the ceiling. One guy was trying to persuade the other to go out for a night on the town. After much ado, it was decided that we were going to go out. I needed to go to my room to get ready. I was just about to climb the stairs when I remembered that I didn't have to, that I began to rise straight up off the floor as though I was on an invisible elevator. This time, I had the luxury of asking a bona fide spiritual master what he thought of the strange reoccurring dream, and he offered 2 interpretations. First, he explained that we have no memory of what form we took in our previous lives. Perhaps I was a bird in a previous life, and memories of flight were coming to the surface in my dreams. His second interpretation was that after this life, or perhaps the next, I would no longer be required to take a birth in a maternal body. I would go home, back to Godhead, the ultimate goal, I must say. I quite like the second interpretation. It's 2017 now. I have not had the dream again, and at least not yet, anyways. I'm happy to be able to share this dream with you and all your listeners. Thank you. Sincerely, Diogenes. So, what was going on? Since I had the dream so many times over such a long stretch of time, I can only remember 3 instances. I cannot really say what was going on in my life at the time, except for the first and last instances. I'd like to hear your interpretation of the dream. Also, would very much like to know if anyone else has had similar dreams and what they make of them. Thank you for sharing that story with us. And also thank you for the enunciation guide on your name. I do greatly appreciate that. If you recall at the beginning of the story, I did see your name in print here, but I did not want to attempt to say it because I tend to butcher even simple names. So I do greatly appreciate that. The good thing here with these dreams is when you're having flying dreams, It signifies control. It signifies that you, in your life, you have a sense of freedom where you may have initially felt restricted and limited, but you've kind of conquered that. It signifies essentially kind of conquering areas of life that you are in control and that you are able to navigate them properly, essentially. So I wonder if that is why you have these from time to time, if it's one of those things where you are having moments in your life of frustration prior in certain situations. Maybe at first it was the work life at, you know, 22, 23, working in the call center, to all the different other points in your life and things that you were doing and going out and conquering and being in control of, going on that spiritual journey. That could be something that a lot of people only dream of doing and never actually do. So that's where it's coming to me, and the feeling I'm getting out of this is this is occurring. This is almost like your subconscious way of sticking that flagpole on the top of the mountain saying, I've done it. And that's where it suddenly hits like, hey, look, I can fly. It's almost like where you do reach the top, the plateau of that mountain or whatever the goal is. And you're suddenly there and you realize, damn, I got there. This is amazing. I made it. And we all have those realizations for different things in our lives and different goals that we set out to accomplish. And when we're there, sometimes it's almost surprising when we make it there. Sometimes it just, you have to have that retrospective look back down the mountain, hence flying, of look how far I came and now I'm here. And I'm thinking that that is why these things occur for you at specific times in your life. It's a feeling of accomplishment. So congratulations. That's a good dream to have. Thank you for sharing that with us. I wish I could fly in my dreams. I've had dreams where I've attempted to fly, where I thought, okay, I'm aware it's a dream. I guess you'd seen I was vividly dreaming. I'm well aware that I know this is not real. And I will think, okay, well, then I'm going to fly because it's a dream. I can do whatever I want. However, most of the times in my dreams, when I realize I'm dreaming, I still have no control over what's going on around me. In fact, more cases than not, things will work against me. Things will do the opposite of what I want them to do in the dream versus what I'm trying to will it to do because it's my dream. So I'll like jump off the, you know, the top of the swing set or whatever thing. I'm going to fly and boom, I get hurt. And then I wake up. Or insert whatever, you know, weird thing you have going on in your dream and you realize I'm dreaming. I can do whatever I want. And you attempt it. And no, it works out about as good as it probably would in real life. Thank God the dreams don't have real life results, but they're just as disappointing. Thank you for sharing that with us here on the show. If you want to share your dream with us so we can talk about it on a future episode, 1-800-606-7193 is our phone number at Dream Meanings. Of course, you can also write it on the website, which is dreamingradio.com. And of course, I always ask, please press subscribe to our program on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Spotify, on iHeart, wherever you may be listening to us, on our specific page for Dream Meanings. That would greatly help us grow in the rankings. I know right now we're still feeding our show out through our other channel, our Real Ghost Stories Online channel, once a week to listeners there. And if you've been catching the show there, thank you. But please do take a moment to go and subscribe to us through our main Dream Meanings channel so you don't miss our episodes once we stop feeding it out through the Real Ghost Stories Online channel down the road. That will help us grow that channel in its own. And that's certainly greatly appreciated. Okay, let's go to another letter. Looks like Cactus writes in, I apologize for the length of this dream. No need to apologize. In this dream, I first remember looking around myself while on a dirt road in the middle of some farmland. There's corn as far as the eye can see. What was most interesting is that I somehow knew it was daylight, but the sky was pitch black. I then set off down the road because for some reason I felt determined to do something. Eventually, I came upon a farmhouse and knocked on the door. An elderly couple answered, but they were incredibly eerie. I couldn't see their faces, as if they were partially in the shadows. They dragged me inside, sat me down at the dinner table, and started to ask me all sorts of questions. Unfortunately, I don't remember what they asked me. The whole time, I was not afraid at all, which is usual for me, as I suffer from generalized anxiety. In my dream, I was uneasy, frustrated, determined, and at some point confused, but never scared. Eventually, the old couple let me go, but at the door, the man stamped my hand with a bright red S, and he pushed me out the door. It was the same farmland as before, however, all the corn had turned to body parts, intestines, and flesh. The road was slick with blood, and the fence in front of the house was made of bones. In my dream, I thought it was bizarre, but kept walking. After walking for what seemed like hours, my feet started to sink into the bloody dirt road. The rest of my body soon followed, and I fell completely through. I began falling, but could see beneath me was a massive sea of blood. I was just disappointed I ended up in this situation, not scared at all. At no point did this dream feel like a nightmare, which I think is unusual. Thankfully, I did not fall into the sea, but onto a small island made of flesh. My legs did catch on the shore and got all bloody, but I was unharmed. After I got up, I immediately noticed a bright green thing on the island. It was the only thing there. To my dream self, it seemed like a portal, a big rectangular sheet of translucent something held at the sides by green fur. The portal itself was shimmering and swirling, almost calling to me. I walked through and appeared in a rundown version of Munchkinland from The Wizard of Oz. It was desolate at first, but then some people emerged from the houses in mushroom-shaped buildings. They were slow and clumsy, almost like zombies with glowing red eyes. I just stood there in the front portal, unsure of what to do, as the zombie people came towards me. They thankfully did not try to eat me, but instead just touched me gently, patting me and ruffling my clothes. I was weirded out and started to walk past them when suddenly a portal made a horrible noise. The noise was like a loud booming from the Inception movie trailers, but more drawn out. Townspeople didn't seem to notice, but I covered my ears. I hate that noise. Soon following this calamity, a dark green Hummer burst through the portal. On top of the large vehicle was a woman. She was very dark-skinned, long ponytail made of dreadlocks, and was wearing combat boots and a purple trench coat. She also was holding a very large gun. I don't know guns, but this was some sort of automatic machine gun from the looks of it. She was firing as she came through the portal, mowing down the zombie-like people. I ducked behind the bench to avoid the firefight. Even at this moment, I was not scared. Finally, the mystery woman stopped the car. Exactly how she did so from the top of it, I don't know. She stopped shooting, did not put down the gun. She whipped around to face me, and I looked up at her. Looking at her, I knew she was the sheriff of this poor town, but she wasn't wearing a badge. I started to say something, but instead she said, very loud and angry, "Those are not who you think. They are traitors." Then I woke up. So, what was going on in your life at the time of this dream? I'm currently enrolled in a psychology class about dreams and how we sleep, and as part of our assignments, we as students must keep a dream journal. The dream was by far the longest I remember ever having, and also the most detailed in terms of content and how much I was able to explain it in my journal. I shared this dream with my professor, but he's not one to interpret dreams, so I was wondering what you could make of it. My professor says the dream is very movie-like, which explains a lot because I work in a movie theater. I love movies. However, when I think about it, the dream sounds to me a lot like a video game. I am all about video games, particularly adventure, horror, and RPGs. I had this dream in the first weekend back at college, so it could be a sign of stress. I also happened just after I joined the Dungeons & Dragons Club, even used the sheriff from my dream as my character. I think the suspicious elderly couple could be a symbol for my strained relationship with my father's parents. My grandpa especially, I'm not fond of, as he is the loudest of my family members who does not approve of me following a career in the visual arts. He and my grandma are also generally tough to be around, but I have to grin and bear it because they are family. I'm wondering how it is that my dream could act so calm in the face of, how I could act so calm in the face of unimaginable horrors. Were this to happen in real life, I'd be absolutely petrified. I also have no idea who the sheriff's meant to represent, nor why she considers the townspeople traitors. What do you think the S stamp means? Lastly, it is normal to have a dream about such scary, imaginary things, but not feel as if I'm having a nightmare. Is that normal? Thank you. Is it normal? Let me answer your question first before I forget you asked it. Yes, I was thinking throughout the whole time I was reading your dream. It's amazing what we can normalize in our dreams so quickly, which just seems to be completely, that just happens. It's almost like child thinking when you're very little, when you're 3 or 4 or younger, and horrible things happen in life, but you have no context to base them on. Really bad, nutty things that occur around us can be, this must be how it goes. Sometimes in our dreams, I think we almost revert back to that way of thinking, where the context is simply removed and anything is possible and reasoned out. So as far as the imagery in the dreams, the extremes in it of the horror, the flesh, the bones, the, you know, the portals, I think a lot of that is going to be simply exemplary of what you consider to be bad, wrong, scary, horrific, because of the imagery that you see in your video games, in your movies, and that seems to be kind of a norm in some of those senses. To those who do not play video games like that, where you're walking on flesh and bones, that's going to sound a lot more extreme, but I think we need to take the imagery in this and pull it back a little bit and just label it bad, that it's scary bad, okay? So what I'm thinking you may be dealing with here in this dream is the relationship with yourself, with your family, with your grandparents, and what you're viewed as, and wrestling with the label they may give you for doing what you love and what you want to do with your education. And there's nothing wrong with pursuing what you want to do with your education. If others don't agree or don't approve of it, well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with listening to opinions and finding out what they're based on and why. But if they still don't really reflect reality, then you need to continue to push forward with your own life. There's nothing wrong with someone saying to an individual of, it's great you like this, but at the end of the day, when you're done getting that degree, is it going to be profitable? Is there a lot of jobs out there? Is it something you can support yourself with realistically? And those are things that I think a lot of college folks need to get a grips on. I know so many people who went to school got degrees in things that they just thought were fun or had an interest in, and ended up working in jobs and still are working in jobs that they could have gotten without ever getting a degree. And then they look back going, maybe I should have taken some study time for something that would have been a more realistic and fulfilling for long term, not just my study. So anyway, I don't mean to go off a tangent on that, but that may be something you're wrestling with is the judgment, if you will, of family members and others around you. And that's where the initial thing, you're going in, you're seeing this old farmhouse, you're going to cornfield. These are normally scenes of comfort. These are scenes that, you know, people now in home design are trying to emulate. Farmhouse is so popular because people feel it's a warm, inviting thing. And that's what I think your mindset going into it is, this should be warm and inviting and happy. And then suddenly you get there and it's not. It's being quizzed. It's being thrown through the ringer of judgment. And then eventually at the end of it, getting stamped and labeled something, and you left, and then suddenly you're in this dark, scary place. And I think is your mind trying to work in the whole, is what they're saying right? It's a lot of second guessing yourself and trying to work through that path of, is the path I'm on the right path? And going from this to that through the portal, and then suddenly at the end of the day, something comes to rescue you, comes to show you, hey, these people are not who you think they are. Maybe a reflection of not only the zombies or the whatever, you know, entities or enemies that were in your dream, but more so maybe the reflection of who you have in your life, maybe family members, maybe friends, and having to reassess and realign in your mind these people and who you thought they were from growing up. And sometimes it's a harsh reality, and it's a scary reality to take a look at people that we're told have our best interests in mind or feel about us, other people saying this is how they feel about you, and then coming to the realization, maybe that's not the case. Maybe what we thought or what they should traditionally or sanely be feeling about us and our interests are not exactly what it really is. And sometimes it takes getting into adulthood to to come to grips with that. And it's sad sometimes. It's really sad and it's scary because sometimes it doesn't align with some of the childhood images and understandings that we think we have of people around us. And in some cases, it's reinforced where they care about me even more than I ever thought. And then there's some where they really didn't give a crap about me most of the time, did they? And I'm not saying that that's the case with your grandparents. I don't know. I would need to know more about that relationship. But it may be just about reevaluating some of the relationships in your life and who is around you and how they truly feel about you as opposed to how you think they may feel about you. That's what I would be examining after that dream. Thank you for sharing it with us. Do greatly appreciate you writing in. Again, 1-800-606-7193 is our phone number to share your dream with us, or you can also write it on our website at dreamingradio.com. That wraps up today's episode of Dream Meetings. Thank you so much for listening. Please do subscribe. Press the subscribe button. iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeart, you name it, we're probably there. And don't miss any episodes of our program. Get the word out. Tell your friends about the show if you like it as well. We do greatly appreciate that. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to another episode of Dream Meetings.